which engages this morning comes from our gospel lesson, often entitled The Parable of the Good Samaritan. From whom did you learn this parable? We've known it for so long that we very often forget where we first learned it. Was it a picture Bible that your parents used to read it to you? Or a Sunday school teacher when you were 5 or 10 or 15? The Good Samaritan is such a culturally pervasive phrase that even non-Christians know about it, and everyone that thinks of themselves as a good person says they want to emulate the Good Samaritan. I remember learning to practice the principles exemplified by the Good Samaritan from my father. Our family was on vacation once when I was about 10 years old. My father, my mother, my younger sister, and me. Now, this was a long time ago. Not that long ago. There were cars that went 60 miles per hour down interstate highways. Apollo 11 landed on the moon about this time. But we didn't have cell phones. Almost nobody had a cell phone. I knew one person in the world that had a cell phone this time. But Dad was driving, and he started to slow down and told Mom, I think we should stop and help those two women. Two women were on the side of the interstate with a flat tire, and it looked to Dad like they needed help changing that tire. So we stopped, and he told us to stay in the car, because you don't want 10-year-old kids playing around interstate highway. And we watched as Dad slowly approached these two younger women and asked them if they needed help. They seemed very relieved, because apparently they didn't know much about how to change a tire. Dad jacked their car up, put the spare on, and put all the jack stuff away, and then they and we were on our way. I remember talking to Dad about this later on, asking him questions, probably the time after I saw him drive by two men that had a flat tire and were stuck alongside the road. I said, why did you stop for those two women recently, but you didn't stop for these, you kind of slowed down, but didn't stop for these other two guys? And he actually had a very thoughtful response. He said, I was pretty sure those two guys had everything under control. It looked like they had a tire, looked like they knew how to handle a jack, like he had taught me how to do. So they really didn't need help. In fact, they probably would have been offended if I had stopped and offered to help. And he said, you have to be a little cautious. If you see two guys on a more deserted road, they could simply be looking to rob someone. Probably not, but maybe. So Dad was looking out for my safety and his in that situation. But he went on to say, but those two women looked like they really needed help. And the two women were stranded on interstate in a more vulnerable situation than what I had realized. And he said, if one or two men had stopped to help them, well, they might have been afraid of those two guys. But those two women could see that I was coming from a car that had your mom and you and your sister in it. They knew I was a family man, so they would probably be naturally less afraid of me. My dad had thoughtfully shown mercy to neighbors who were very much in real need. Today, when we see someone along the road, we normally see them with a cell phone in their hand, calling for AAA or Highway Patrol. We very rarely stop, as we did in the pre-cell phone age, because we assume they have help on the way, and they might actually get a little nervous if we stopped and helped them. A few years ago, a seminarian actually did stop to help some women along the road, and a highway patrolman pulled in just behind him and thought that he was up to no good, and actually accused him of wanting to harm the women, thought about arresting him until the seminarian convinced him that no, I was just trying to be a good Samaritan and was really going to help them. Jesus told this parable a long time ago, before cell phones, before cars that went 60 miles per hour that had flat tires. But Jesus added some other details that it's easy for us modern readers to miss. I didn't realize until I visited the Holy Land a second time how treacherous the route is between Jerusalem and Jericho. there's a route to go there. There's a path with stops along the way for travelers to stay in and be safe at night. But there are many places where that path, that route is very, very narrow. And all kinds of nooks and crannies along the way that robbers and insurrectionists could hide, waiting for individual travelers to ambush and rob. It was a very dangerous route to take alone. And Jesus is also emphasizing to the lawyer that their religious laws at the time, their ceremonial laws, could easily get in the way of extending mercy to others. The priest and the Levite didn't want to potentially touch someone that would make them unclean, even if their duties at the temple in Jerusalem were finished. But the Samaritan man, the man from the other side of the tracks, so to speak, he showed mercy. Arthur Just, in his commentary on Luke, says that this parable would have made more sense to the typical reader or hearer if the man left for dead had been a Samaritan and the man helping him had been Jewish. But that's not how Jesus told it for impact. In the chapter before, James and John had been so frustrated with the Samaritans and their rejection of Jesus that the sons of thunder had wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans. But Jesus had said no. Jews and Samaritans despised one another at that time, but Jesus was there for them all. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a powerful one, a memorable one, even one that secularists like to cite. But we often forget the context and the main message that Jesus is teaching the lawyer and us. We often forget the question that led into the telling of this Good Samaritan. The lawyer asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus puts the onus back on the lawyer. Asks him questions about the law. How does he read it? And the lawyer gets it right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer knows the law. He knows Leviticus 18 and 19. He knows the two great commandments. But he also seems to know that he cannot keep those two great commandments. And therefore he asks a qualifying question, one where he tries to justify himself. Who, Jesus, is my neighbor? How do we tend to ask those same sort of self-justifying questions? Who is my neighbor? Should I devote more time and energy to this good cause? How much do I truly need to do to help others? What about that homeless person that I see alongside the sidewalk? If I give them a few dollars, will they just use it for booze? We ask many questions trying to justify ourselves. And there has been a long debate about how to read this parable of Jesus. Is it to be read primarily on a horizontal level about how we as believers should show mercy to others? It does seem to have that message, a message of the law. A law that we, like the lawyer, know that we can never perfectly keep? Or is this parable also vertical, addressing the lawyer's question about eternal life? Where is the gospel in this parable? Well, to be honest, when we pull out this parable by itself as a pericope, it doesn't have any explicit gospel. But it is surrounded by explicit gospel all over in Luke 10. Jesus, as we heard last week from Pastor Stephen King, had sent out the 72 to heal and to say to others, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." Listen to the words of Jesus. Repent and turn to him. Your names are written in heaven. And then right after this parable, Jesus goes to the home of Martha and Mary. And Martha's very good at doing the good works. But Jesus gently reminds her not to be so worried about her earthly cares, but to listen to his words of salvation, as Mary is doing. But even in this parable, we hear strong implications of the gospel when we listen for them. When we realize, as we did at the beginning of this service, that we are helpless and half dead, beaten down in this life, when we realize we always need to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we realize we need someone else who will keep the two great commandments on our behalf, then we can thank Jesus. We can thank God that he sent his only son, Jesus, as the one human who could and did love God with all his heart and mind and soul, and love his neighbor, you and me, as himself. He had compassion on us, bound up our wounds, and paid for our health and recovery, not with two denarii, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. This is a wonderful, memorable parable, and one that does teach us of the two kinds of righteousness, of how our horizontal love for our neighbor flows from the vertical love that our Lord Jesus has shown to us. May we constantly cling to our great Good Samaritan Savior and model his love for us, for others, when we see them in need. In the name of Jesus.